post-game show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.
All right, we got a full post-game edition of You Play to Win the Rose. We are recording this just after 10 o'clock p.m. Central Time, right after episode 4 of The Bachelor. This is a full-on smack dab right after post-game show with myself, Ben Heisler, and my co-host, Andrew Carter. And there's a reason that we've decided to jump on the board this early. Normally, we wait a day or so. We let the wives catch up. Both of our wives get up early, but no, not today, my friend.
Now, today's too special. We have a jam-packed show. It is our first. That's kind of the direct reaction episode. I'm excited about it because there's a lot to talk about, but also this was so special. We had our first guest on the show, a contestant from this year's season, Caitlin Clemens from Canada. She was awesome to have on, and we can't wait to play that interview. But, of course, we're going to digest this show first. And if you listen to Heist and you're like, man, where's Heist's energy tonight? He's kind of quiet. Well, he's a good husband. His wife is sleeping kind of nearby right now. She's also pregnant. Everyone give Heist some props. He's about to be a father. And so he's going to do his best. But we had to get this episode out fast, and he's taking one for the team. But I think he'll be able to manage tonight.
I think so, too. She's taking one for the team. She's being super supportive, snuggled up with the little 10-pound Chihuahua Terrier. So trust me, if it's not this show keeping her awake, it's the pitter-patter of the dog just trying to get herself comfortable on the sheets. I don't know how big Rizzo is, and Rizzo is Andrew and his wife Lindsay's amazing dog, but he doesn't sleep on the bed, does he?
No, he's 75 pounds. He would sleep on the bed if he could, and he did for a long time, but recently he had ACL surgery, so he's staying downstairs, and he's become really comfortable with his bed downstairs. He kind of goes back and forth between the carpet in our family room and his bed, but he's comfortable no matter what and doesn't move much during the night.
Maybe this makes me a villain for future episodes, but no more, because you know our dog's about 12 and a half. Never again will we let, or at least will I let the dog sleep in the bed. My wife, I guess, like made a promise to the guy who she rescued the dog from that, you know, he was like this old man in a nursing home, and he said, like, whatever you do, I don't know why I made him an old Jewish man, but I'm going to. He's like, whatever you do, make sure that the dog gets to sleep in the bed. And she made this promise, and now I live with it every day of my life, including like when she's just like when she's just not feeling well, and she'll go and sleep in our guest room, but she'll leave the dog with me. And I never wanted the dog to sleep with me in the first place, just because she'll like nuzzle up to you and just like get up in your face, and you'll wake up and the tail will slap me across the face when I wake up. But that's not what you guys came here for.
Heist, this is why you don't need a show. You don't need to be a bachelor. You don't need to go on The Bachelorette. You're a great guy. You take one for the team. I love it.
There you go. So we normally, over the last few episodes or so, we went through this whole recap and we brought you all the different details of the show. And we decided, you know what? Like, as much as you guys might have enjoyed this breakdown of the show, we wanted to come away with just a few more organic thoughts and sort of propose them out to each other and to you guys. And so, Andrew, I'll start with you. Like, what were your biggest takeaways from a pretty action-packed episode with a lot of really interesting reveals?
Yeah, I think what we're trying to do now is kind of shorten the recap section because everyone's seen the episode, but we really want to focus on the things that stood out to us and kind of get along with some of our fun segments. So the first thing that stood out to me was Tayshia's date was overall just awesome. I thought she had a major leg up on the competition because of her date with Colton, and their ability to overcome fear was really cool. You could tell that really bonded them together quicker maybe than just a standard date. And what really intrigued me was her ability to pump him up and really push him past his limits, even though she was just as scared, if not more scared than him. She was the one that was saying, we can do this, and he really, really enjoyed that. I thought the bungee jumping looked extremely fun. I'm glad they did it. And overall, I just thought that was a great takeaway for two reasons. One, she was super strong, and two, seemed like they had a great time, and she's suddenly becoming one of the front runners.
Yeah, I think Tayshia was somebody that I really liked from the very beginning and thought she was a dark horse candidate to do really well this season. Colton, to me, and we can get into this a little bit later on, but I feel like Colton sort of has this dichotomy for the type of women that he's into. He's either into like really strong, really confident women, or women that sort of feel like they need, like he needs to sort of give that support back to them. And so I have this theory that at the end of the show, it's going to be down to two very diametrically different women, where it's going to be one who's like very independent, very much sort of builds his confidence up, and the other section where he can build up that other woman's confidence and feel like sort of the manly man of that type of relationship. But I thought Tayshia stepped up. I thought she was really good. And, you know, it, normally those fear dates can either go one of two ways. One, they're both all in, or somebody gets completely and totally freaked out, and then eventually they get there. But that's kind of a challenge for everybody to pick themselves back up. I think he was very turned on by the fact that she was willing to give it a try, even though she was scared.
Yeah, I thought it was overall very successful for both of them. And it was really cool to see them overcome that fear together. Like I said, I think that's going to give her a leg up moving forward because she had such a strong date. What about you? What's one thing that you noticed?
Well, I mean, I kind of talked about it a little bit, this idea that Colton's going to have trouble deciding on what he wants when you have these very opposite types of girls. I do know that when it came to Courtney, I think there was a very accurate sports analogy that came into play here. Courtney, throughout the entirety of the episode, just could not get out of her own head. She just was not able to shoot. She was not able to go up, get her one-on-one time. And I kept thinking about the situation with the Philadelphia 76ers and Markelle Fultz. For those of you that are a little bit unfamiliar in the sports category, Markelle Fultz was the number one overall pick out of the University of Washington. He was supposed to be an absolute stud. And then the number one overall pick forgot how to shoot. Like, he doesn't know how to shoot a basketball anymore. And some have diagnosed it as a potential medical condition. Other people say it's entirely in his head. But Courtney in this episode basically became the Markelle Fultz of The Bachelor. She had no indication of when she could shoot, why she couldn't shoot, and decided to end up turning herself into maybe a bit of a villain, even if it was just for one episode. I think because she got in her head, she decided, I'm not going to put this out on myself. I'm not going to put this out on Colton. I'm going to put my blame and my issue onto Demi, and ultimately it cost her.
We see it every year. You put your blame on someone else. You focus on another person. You don't focus on yourself and getting what you have to do, keeping your house tidy and clean, and you pay for it every single time. And Courtney was the next one up to get in her head. Like you said, it's a great analogy. She really, on a basic date, I would like to think Courtney would know how to open up, be friendly, have fun, but she got so much in her head, she couldn't even have the time with Colton, and it was almost like she was so frustrated that she didn't even want to go see him. Like, she was getting mad at him for something he had no control over. So great analogy there, that she really kind of hurt herself in that situation, and ultimately we saw her leave the show. So it goes to tell you, once you start blaming others, the first finger pointing back is on yourself, and it never seems to end well.
I know you got one that's intriguing to me about the Hannah B. Kalen direction of the show, because we've seen this go in a variety of different directions, from very negative to set things up to somewhat positive, and then we'll see ultimately where it goes. But you sort of have an idea of their dichotomy and their relationship that kind of extends beyond the show.
Yeah, my take watching it, when and what Heist and I are talking about, was the decision for Hannah B and Kalen to really truce, I guess. They both waved the white flag at each other.
Tried to squash some beef a little bit.
Yeah, Kalen stepped up, said, Hannah, can I talk to you? They sat down. It was amazing to me that they really didn't discuss any specifics and just said, it's been uncomfortable. I want you to know that I really don't wish bad things upon you. And overall, can we just start over? And they both were like, yeah. And that's all it took. I'm like, whoa, this conversation could have been had day one. Why did it take this long? And it was this overall thing. And my wife, Lindsay, was sitting there and she's like, no, that's just how girls do it. And I know I don't want to put the whole female group in a box, but I do think generally females compared to males just let things sit. Whereas, like, if you and I got in a fight, man, we'd get in a fight, but we would squash that bug like 2 minutes later. Like, man, I'm sorry that happened. Or we'd at least tell each other how we feel, and we would move on and be okay with our lives. It seemed like they let this thing simmer, where if they could have just done that simple conversation way earlier, we would have avoided a lot of this trouble. So I just thought it was amazing that the confrontation and the fact that they didn't want to have it for so long was really not that much beef. It was like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, too. I think we're good now. It was incredible.
Yeah, I'm not so sure as to whether or not this beef is totally squashed, but I think the action set by Kaylin, who really separated herself, and we'll get into that a little bit later on in the episode, was crucial. Because even just by taking that first step, you put yourself in a far better situation. Because here's the thing, like, even if you have beef with somebody and you're worried that it's not going to get squashed, that even if you say, hey, man, listen, I'm sorry, you know, I know that I did something to offend you, or even if in a relationship, if you talk to your significant other and say, hey, I know I clearly did something to hurt you. Because a lot of times, you know, I know I speak for a lot of guys when, you know, occasionally if you get the silent treatment or if something is just not right, you'll say, well, what did I do? And usually your significant other will say, well, you should know. And then you're playing a guessing game, and that can be frustrating. So one thing that's always been effective for me is to just completely take responsibility for whatever I did. So in right. this situation, Kaylin may have not thought that she did anything wrong to really hurt Hannah B other than win. You know, other than place higher than she did. But she still said, clearly I did something that upset you, that made you feel a certain way towards me. And for that, I'm sorry. And they didn't necessarily have to get into the specifics, but they took responsibility, or at least she did. Eventually, Hannah B kind of came around a little bit. But I think you're right. Like, it's so much easier just to sort of bring that down. And then ultimately, you're off the hook. If they want to hold you responsible, fine. But that's no longer on your shoulders.
I don't know why it took so long. It was just amazing to me. I felt like there was such a wave of momentum for this huge cat fight, or they had hurt each other so much that it was going to end so brutally. And really, it was just a sit down for about a couple minutes and all is good. I mean, I'm happy for them. It was just amazing to me because it wasn't what I expected. It made me really question why that couldn't have happened way sooner.
So I was talking to a friend of mine. I mentioned her on the show. I think it was either last week or 2 weeks ago. It was a listener of this podcast, my friend Sarah Blattner. And we're just going through the episode. She was talking about the podcast, and we started talking about Colton and how this sort of continued theme of his virginity continues to be thrown around throughout the course of the season. And I think you'll appreciate this as a Cub fan, but Colton's virginity is kind of like the Cubs, right? Like, winning a World Series is his virginity. Once it happens, it's not as interesting anymore. The Cubs for so long were this team, these lovable losers, that every year, next year was the year, and you would follow the storyline and create this like beautiful narrative of it's finally going to happen. It's going to happen on the show. I think we're both in agreement, right? That he's going to pop the cherry over the course of the show. And once it happens, is he as interesting of a person anymore, at least from the viewer's perspective? I don't know if he is.
That's an interesting point. And I'm really shocked that you brought this up because, I love the Chicago Cubs. And I like to think that the Cubs are still very interesting. And now I'm questioning, now that they won,
You and me, like, we're fans, but I'm talking about the average fan. Like, now people kind of look at the Cubs in sort of like this, not a negative light, but, you know, they're following other storylines. I guess in baseball, there's no real other team that people love anymore.
No, you're right. But I don't know. To answer, it's a great analogy. I really think it's a good way to put it. But I think I'll still find him interesting just because I think he's such an interesting bachelor in the sense of he looks like the alpha male but doesn't act like one at all. There's moments of alpha male, but then there's moments of complete introvert. And so he's this mix of all these different types of bachelors that we've seen that I don't think anyone ever feels like they can judge him either way. It's not like he's an overly lovable character, but he's not really – no one really dislikes him. So for that sense, I think the Cubs are a good comparison because before they won the World Series, I feel like that's how a lot of fans felt. Because, like, well, they don't lose – or they lose all the time, so I don't hate them, but, right. Like, they don't threaten me, so I don't care, you know?
Yeah, I only reason why I might disagree a little bit is I think it's not necessarily his fault. I think it's the narrative that's been set up over the entirety of the season. Like, this is on the producers. They sold this story of, like, Colton trying to find love, and eventually, you know, he's the virgin who's still looking for it. And once you set up that storyline, they better have another one ready to go other than, is he going to find the one? Which I don't know if that necessarily carries at this point.
Well, they did throw a little wrench into it. We can get to the MVP Kaylin and why, but he kind of alluded to a past relationship where he was in love and he was ready, and it really wasn't his fault that he was still a virgin, which I think is why he was really nervous to say something about it and make it such a big deal, because in his mind it wouldn't or shouldn't have been a storyline if he had his way in previous times in his life.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
So we can get to that. Is there anything else you want to add, though, before we get to our MVP and bench warmer? I just want to say a big takeaway for me is Hannah G is still in the lead. I mean, that girl was like making out with him on the bed. There's camera guys in there. She didn't care. Did not care at all. And they seem to be hitting it off. And every time they hang out, they have a great time. Hannah G is by far the front runner right now. And I don't know if she's going to let up that lead the rest of the show. We'll have to see.
Yeah, Hannah G was smoking Jay Cutler in that situation. She did not care one bit. Let her guard down. And here's the thing. She kept on saying, like, you know, at some point I'm going to be ready to open up to you. And, you know, she opened up physically, but she didn't necessarily say anything, at least substantive, over the course of that episode that made you feel like they connected on some sort of new emotional level. So imagine how far ahead she's going to be when they do. I was initially skeptical. I thought after watching Kaylin that I thought she was the front runner. But Hannah G is an absolute force. And I certainly think you're talking about both of them as legit Final Four contenders, possibly championship contenders down the road.
Absolutely.
So with all that being said, we got our takes out of the way. It is now time for Episode 4's MVP. Andrew, I will start with you.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
All right, my MVP of the episode is clearly Kaylin. There's a lot of reasons. We'll start with her awesome date. I mean, she was able to go and shop, and she came home and really rubbed in that MVP trophy in front of everyone, taking out I mean, it wasn't even one trophy. It's like she was handed 15 trophies that she could just take out and
each
show
bag
everyone.
Was an MVP.
Every bag was a trophy.
It was an MVB. It was the most valuable bag.
Each girl was extremely jealous. I mean, she literally had girls crying over their jealousy of all the shopping she did. So overall, I mean, this incredible performance on that date. Also being the bigger person to ask Hannah B to step aside and finally talk, I thought that was a huge moment. Kind of shows that she's always been a little better at showing her emotions and being able to talk through them than Hannah B, even though I'm happy for Hannah B because she seemed to have a good moment with Colton on the show, and they kind of seem to be moving forward, and maybe she doesn't look quite as sensitive as she did in the past. So just overall, I think Kaylin was the one that allowed us to move on from that beef. And then finally, her ability to open up about her incident in college with the sexual assault, and just, you know, I think I speak for both of us, just how strong she is, her ability to overcome that. And even though she wasn't confident to tell her parents right away, she eventually did, and just her way of coping with it and explaining it, I think all of us could sit back, and even if we don't really understand or can't relate, we can truly appreciate her strength in that moment. So, I mean, overall, she was the full package in the episode, and there's no other person to give the MVP to.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Kaylin's the MVP by far of the episode. And, you know, I did a little bit further research after watching that scene, and now it's part of what she's doing. She's helping out with a lot of victims of rape and sexual assault, and kudos to her. I think she helps, you know, cause a lot of awareness for a lot of women. And I think, you know, to a certain extent, women know, but sometimes, you know, a lot of guys will do this. They sort of think that they're invincible to the situation. And the more it's talked about, the more it's normalized that this is something that is serious, that it can happen to anybody, the more it becomes a mainstream issue to be discussed, and that it doesn't become taboo, and there's less shame associated with it because it's not their fault. I think Kaylin made an incredible difference, not just in her own life, but in a lot of other lives tonight. So kudos to her. She's really changed the game around as far as the show is go. She's catapulted herself into top two, top three consideration when I kind of thought there was a chance she could get eliminated on a two-on-one date down the road, and it doesn't appear to be the case. She's legit, and, you know, she's a confident person who clearly he's infatuated by. Like, let's get one thing straight. Like, Colton in that moment, I know that we talked about his one-on-one date with Tayshia and how he liked seeing the strong, confident woman. Kaylin is too, but in a very different way, and I think he really liked spoiling her. He sort of liked having that side of the relationship too, right? So she absolutely crushed it and had him eating out of the palm of her hand. So kudos to her, by far and away the MVP of the episode. What about who's on the bench? Who you throwing there this week?
I can't even.
Can't even what?
Even. Like, I just can't even.
Oh, like you literally can't even.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, it's clearly Courtney. I mean, yeah. There's no one else to pick for this spot because she put herself on the bench. I mean, she sat there and she was watching the game in front of her all night and all day and every day. She was just never assertive enough to even go up to the coach and say, hey, coach, I'm ready. Put me in the game. I've been sitting here all day. Instead, she just stayed there, spit some seeds a little bit, kind of talked, kind of shot the crap with the other guys on the bench and never really made her mark on getting into the game. So for that, it was an easy selection. Courtney just sat on the bench and really didn't show much heart to get into the game, and for that reason we saw her go home.
With Courtney, I don't know if this is a relatable situation or not, but I play in a Sunday league over at the local Jewish community center, and we're ranked when you're choosing teams, you know, based on your skill level from 1 through 5. And we were on a pretty good team this year, and I'm an okay basketball player, but I was sort of ranked in that 4 or 5 category. So when you sub out, it's 4-on-4. You know, if your team's playing well, do you want to sub yourself back in? Yeah, you want to play, but at the same time, you're like a little bit hesitant. The guys are playing really well. If you're coaching from the sidelines, you have that hesitancy. So I kind of know what Courtney was going through in that situation. However, the watching her transform over the context of the entire episode reminded me of that line from Harvey Dent from Batman, where he says, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. I think we watched Courtney, even in a short period of time, go from somebody that we felt bad for, that we empathized for, and we watched this transformation go from what she just couldn't take it anymore, and she couldn't put the responsibility on herself, that she put it on Demi. And that's when you saw Demi go and get into attack mode. And I think she had every right to do so, because she felt like she was trying to help her out over the process of the show. And once Courtney just ignored what she was saying, and whether or not there's sort of anything else there, I'm not sure, but I think we watched Courtney become a villain even for a short period of time. I know you disagree with sort of the notion of her being the villain, but I think you saw it in that part of the episode. She became a villain.
Yeah, she did. It was one of those things where she lost her way a little bit, and as we mentioned, she started talking about other girls in the house. So for that sense, I guess you can say villain, but I just don't think she was a player long enough to even be a villain. I mean, villains are major characters in every plot line, and it was just such a quick moment for her, and a quick trigger for her to go home too. So I see everything you're saying. It was a classic Bachelor scenario where as soon as you start coming out and talking about other people and you haven't had your time yourself, there's just nothing you can do to overcome that.
So you see it as less of a villain, more of like a flash in the pan, sort of like one hit wonder moment where eventually just sort of washes away. Like that was her opportunity to get in the spotlight. She took it and then wasn't able to do anything with it.
100%. Great way to put it.
Okay, perfectly fair. Let's get to our film session. This is where we take a minute from the episode and sort of dive into something that maybe you guys didn't necessarily catch, but we did. And Andrew, I'll start with you, and it goes back to one of our favorite characters on the show, in Demi.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Demi here real quick, and don't forget we have Caitlin Clemens' interview coming up right after this, so let's get through our film session here, and you'll be able to listen to that a little bit, and we'll preview that before we get into it. But Demi, we got to talk about this. We have to go back to it, because what I most respect about her, no matter what situation she's in, she never minces her words, and she is always truthful about what she says to people. If you notice it, she'll say one thing to Colton, and then Colton will say, well, Demi, I don't know how to handle this. I got to go talk to Courtney. And then he goes to Courtney and says, you know, Demi called you the cancer of the house. So Courtney goes to Demi and says, I can't believe you called me the cancer of the house. She goes, yeah, I said that. And like a lot of people would be like, I didn't really mean it that way or whatever. What I love about Demi is that she says what she says. She backs it up and she's always honest no matter what. And she admits it in front of the other girls. So for that, I just wanted to say, keep an eye on Demi for the fact that no matter what, she's going to be telling it how it is. And I respect that.
My film session focuses on sort of the inter-drama going into outside drama. I think normally when the show is being filmed and being produced, we hear about the drama from two specific characters, or sometimes maybe it extends to even three or two versus one. You saw a situation where Demi had taken notice of the pageant fight between Hannah B and between Kaylin. And, you know, she started sort of edging him on a little bit because of it. And so it was weird for me to see somebody else who's been involved with drama then go ahead and showcase the other side of the drama and needle them a little bit. And again, like, we both have our feelings about Demi, and I think she's hilarious. I think she's a fantastic villain, a villain that we've been missing from this season for quite some time. But normally, a lot of the bachelorettes or bachelors stay in their own lane when it comes to their own individual drama. I think Demi is here to mix it up, and I think she's genuine about it, and I think she's having a good time with it. And that was really interesting to me to watch it start to go. I think she can see herself sort of turning the needle or sort of turning the knife a little bit just to try and get other people a little bit more riled up. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, she's been good at that the whole season. I don't think it's going to end now.
No, I don't think so either. All right, the part that most of you guys have been waiting for. Clearly, Andrew and I have some sort of outside perspective, but what about somebody that's actually been on the inside? We had a great opportunity to talk to Caitlin Clemens. She was a contestant this season. She had that fantastic line when Demi dragged Colton upstairs, to which she replied, "Does she have parents?" And got probably one of the best quotes out of the entire series. And this is our conversation. We had a lot of fun with Caitlin throughout the time and really covered a variety of topics.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought she was really fun to have on our show. Super accommodating. We got her to even talk about some prop bets. And she, of course, opened up about the limo poll, which I questioned last week, and we finally got an answer. So I'm excited for all of you to hear this interview. And it was a great time, and we'll see you on the backside of it.
Caitlin, what's good? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you on. And by the way, you can watch new episodes of The Bachelor every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on ABC. I guess if there is one positive to you no longer being on the show, is that you can come and hang out with the two of us goofballs. Do you miss the action of being there and diving in and not having a chance of what's going on in reality right now?
I really don't miss doing group dates, but... It's kind of nice to be back home. Everything's kind of settled now that I'm back, so just getting back to work and whatnot.
I don't know if you've listened to the show. I hope you do in the future. We like to have fun. And we never take ourselves seriously, but last week when the episode showed the limo poll, we had this big conversation about whether or not you actually pulled it. Now, I'm not going to say you don't look strong. I think you are. Was there some producer tricks going on? Did someone move that car to help you, or did you really pull it?
Believe it or not, I actually pulled the limo.
Hey!
once it got rolling, it was a lot easier. Getting it to get rolling was the hardest part. I think you could see me kind of stumbling there.
Did you dig deep? I mean, was it more mental or physical? Or?
I mean, you got to do what you got to do to get Colton's attention, so...
You know, what's crazy, too, is one of the other things we talked about on our last podcast is not only, you know, were we debating whether or not there was any shenanigans with the limo poll, but if you watch the episode, Chris Harrison gave Fred Willard 1,000-to-1 odds that you were not going to pull the limo. Like, what if you would have gotten in on that action? If you would have just bet $5-$10,
I know, right? You could have cleaned them out. If that was going on, I definitely would have got in it.
So... was that the highlight of the show for you in your time on the show, or were there other moments you would say were your highlights?
Was pulling the limo the highlight of the show?
Yeah, for you personally.
I mean, I'd be bragging about that for the next 5 years if I pulled the limo. So.
Yeah, all my friends are making jokes about me towing their cars in the winter if they get sick.
That is a thing up in Canada.
It really is. I mean, that was definitely like one of my biggest story accomplishments. Physically, for sure. I think, you know, all the friendships that I made out of the show is definitely one of the biggest positives.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, and Andrew mentioned it when we first got talking, is that we sort of approached the show through more of a sports angle, through a competition angle. And it sounds like you made some great friends on the show, but how was that sort of dichotomy of making friends with a lot of these really cool girls in the house versus the fact that you're all competing for the same guy? Is that hard in the moment?
I mean, yeah, definitely. It's bizarre to think that you're getting along so well with women who are dating the same guy as you. Like, that doesn't happen in everyday life. So There's always a level of competition, though. Like, especially when you're on those group dates, you're just fighting for his attention and his time. So, you know, we all are super friendly, but at the end of the day, like, we have to do what we have to do in order to get some time with him.
What's it like to be watching on the outside now?
It's honestly kind of intriguing to see all of the women growing with him and having their own sort of relationships develop, because, you know, you're there, but you don't want to disclose too much to the other girls because you want it to be as authentic as it can be and, you know, not give away too much. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how it goes for all the other women. I don't know how it turns out. So I know that I have some girlfriends that I became really close with in the house that I would love to see, you know, progress further in the show and become ultimately Colton's pick.
Was there more time with Colton that you had with him one-on-one than they really decided to show? Or was it really you were fighting and kind of didn't get the time that you thought?
To answer that, I mean, if they could show all of our full conversations, we'd, you know, likely still be watching the episode now. So.
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, yeah.
To piggyback off of that, though, it feels like when you're watching the show that these one-on-one conversations are only like a minute or two long, and obviously we know that's not the case, but like when people get interrupted during their one-on-one time or if someone tries to steal him away from you, like how long typically are some of those conversations going? Are you talking for 10, 15, 20 minutes?
It all depends on how savage somebody wants to be. If they want to cut in after they know that you've only been talking for, you know, 30 seconds, then some people will do that.
Was there like a savage thing where like somebody was only talking for a minute or so?
I mean, on the first night, there was obviously the controversy about Catherine cutting in several times. So you could see that a lot of women were getting annoyed.
Heist, we have a new segment. We're going to call it the Savage segment, and we're going to call out who we think was the most savage.
That's good.
You guys can just have me in every time you do the podcast for the Savage segment.
I mean, we'll hold you to it.
Okay. We'll let you go soon. We only have a few more questions. Heist, why don't you ask her about the house, and then I'll get the last one in.
Well, yeah, Andrew and I, you know, we like to do, and we'll get to this in a little bit, we like to come up with different bets that we were to make, you know, if we were betting on The Bachelor each episode. So we'll get to that in just a second. But, you know, obviously you're a realtor over in the Toronto area, but you were inside this gorgeous house in California. If you were getting commission on selling the Bachelor house, how much do you think it would go for? Do you think it would like cover you for a year or so?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the market's like in California, but I mean, if that house was in Toronto, I'd be set for like the next 5 years.
So that's interesting you say that, because I know it's large and it's big, and maybe you can tell us, do they remodel it or is it outdated? I mean, you kind of have that eye. I know in 2019, it seems like the Chip and Joe light colors, everyone's loving that style. is the house outdated or do you feel like it's up to 2019 standards?
It's definitely not like a modern home by any means.
Okay.
I mean, the finishes were incredible, but they're just not modern by any means.
That makes sense. And they don't want to change it too much because viewers are so used to it looking a certain way. I'm sure.
Right.
For the show. Okay. Well, we have one question, and if this is the hardest question you're going to get, and if this is the hardest from us, I don't want to know how other people ask them, because this one.
Oh no, you're scaring me.
No, I'm leading in. It's not that hard, but a lot of people watched the show and they saw your short conversation with Colton and kind of respected you, and they were able to really relate to you and saying, my life's pretty awesome. I don't really have any tragedy or big story to tell you. I just like going out with my friends. And do you feel like when you don't have a life hardship on the show, it kind of gives you a disadvantage to move on or to get airtime for the show?
No, I wouldn't say that. I feel like, you know, the environment makes you need to open up a lot quicker than you normally would in the regular dating scene. So, you know, some of those women were able to share some really traumatic things that had happened to them. I just personally didn't. I don't have anything super traumatic. I mean, I've had points in my life that have certainly tested my character and helped me grow, but I've also had a lot of success. So I didn't really have anything that felt that I felt like I needed to really share.
I think a lot of people respected the way you handled that, and it was just really interesting.
I feel like I'm getting a lot of positive feedback for that, but I'm also getting, you know, like 2% of hate too. So.
Hey, take the haters, because you got to have haters to be doing something right. So that's okay. You have a good ratio going.
Thank you.
The other thing before we get to a couple bets that we want to ask you about, Caitlin, is that you just sort of talked about the environment and how people open up a little bit more quickly than you normally would in the traditional dating scene. Like, could you see and watch it as other people when you have no connection to sort of the outside world, when the only thing that you're thinking about is when is my next opportunity to talk to this guy? Can you see how it sort of changes people within the moment, and how did it impact you?
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, you feel like you do need to kind of like kick everything into high gear. You need to be able to open up or talk about things that you normally wouldn't on a first date. And a lot of women were able to do that, and that's just not who I am. So I wasn't really able to do that. And unfortunately, it resulted in me being back in Toronto.
How is life in Toronto since you've been home?
It's good. It's so cold here. I'm really missing California, but oh well, what can you do? The joys of living in Canada.
We feel you here in Kansas City.
So Caitlin, before we let you go, like we talked about, one of the things that we love to do on this podcast is Andrew and I like to come up with these different bets and phrase them to each other and see if we can have a little action during each episode of The Bachelor. So we want to get your thoughts and see if you wouldn't mind weighing in. Since you don't know the outcome, we figured that it's perfectly fair to ask you these questions. You ready?
Okay.
So we set the over-under at 3.5 cries for Monday's episode. Do you think there will be more than 3.5 cries or less than 3.5 cries?
3.5. I don't know. Based on last week, let's go more.
Yes, that's what I said.
You're with Andrew on that one. He was pretty adamant about that. So I think
we're going to see our first Colton cry this week on TV. Ooh. That is my favorite.
All right. Here's another one for you. Who is more likely to get a 2-on-1 date? Is it the two Miss America contestants with Hannah B and Kaylin? Is it Tracy and Demi? Or is it the field where it can be any of the other two girls? Who do you think is most likely to get that 2-on-1?
That one's tough. I mean, the first two would be really entertaining. So I would go Tracy and Demi if I had to.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty good bet, because we set the odds at 4-1. So if you put $100 down, you get $400 back. So
awesome.
All right. And here's the final one. This is, I think, our
this
most popular.
Goofy, but Heist loves it. And we're rolling with it. I love it too.
It's a pretty good prop. Okay. So Heather, of course, has never had a kiss. Who will be never been kissed Heather's first kiss? Is it Colton, where it's 1-6 odds? Basically, if you bet $100, or you'd have to bet $600 to win $100. He's the overwhelming favorite, that he's going to be her first kiss.
Okay.
That it won't happen on the show, which is 5-1 odds. Or is it any of the girls in the house? And then you could get big odds on that. So listen, you're sitting around, you got nothing to do. Maybe she wants to practice before Colton. I don't know, but what do you think the odds might be?
Let's go with, I think she'll end up kissing Colton.
Yeah, agreed. That's the smart bet, but God, you gotta pony up a lot of cash for it.
Yeah. No, that's
maybe I'll do well on one of the other bets and then I'll be okay.
There you
She's
go.
Hedging. She's already a genius. She's hedging your bets, Heist.
There you go. Hey, really quickly, is Bachelor in Paradise in play for you if they were to ask?
If they were to ask, I am all for it. Yeah, I'd love to, you know, continue on with the Bachelor franchise and see if there's an opportunity for me to find love elsewhere. So.
And you'd also love warm weather again. Let's be honest.
Hell yeah! Get me out of Toronto. I need palm trees.
You guys, make sure that you're following Caitlin on Instagram. She is at C Clementine @C Clementine. She's also part of the Stark Realty Group in Toronto, and you can find more information at starkrealty.ca. This is so much fun. Thank you for hopping on, for having some fun
great.
With us, and look forward to hopefully talking again soon.
Amazing. Thanks for having me, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Big thanks to Caitlin Clemens. Make sure you guys are following her. We'll post all of her social media information in the podcast description of this episode too. But she's on Instagram. I think her realty team is on there too. And Andrew, she kind of led us into knowing that her future with the Bachelor franchise may not be over after this season.
Yeah, we're breaking news suddenly on the show. You know, you throw up a question to her. Does she have interest in Bachelor in Paradise? We know she wants the warmer weather, and she's sick of the cold Canada. So, yeah, I mean, we're doing some stuff on this podcast, Heiss. I'm excited about it, and she was a great guest to have. Hilarious answers on those bets, and we'll get into those in a little bit. But overall, it couldn't have gone better for our first guest.
No doubt about it. Make sure you guys are giving her a follow on Instagram, as we mentioned over the course of the interview. Yeah, she did go into some of those prop bets, and that's where we'll wrap the show today. With Caitlin, we gave her those three. Who's going to be as part of the two-on-one? Unfortunately, she lost that one. Tracy and Demi.
Yeah, she thought Tracy and Demi would be it, and it was kind of interesting to hear that she actually has no idea what's going to happen, just like the rest of America, which was cool. We'd lost Tracy. She went home tonight, so that's not going to happen. We did talk about number of cries, and I don't remember who set that line, but that was perfect because by all accounts, you and I agree, tonight we hit 3.5 cries. Exactly. It was a push.
Which is really difficult to do, to get a half of a cry.
We got it, though. But, we got a couple half cries.
Right. Because it was just a tear. It wasn't actually a full-on cry.
Yeah, I consider a cry with some sniffles and you're, you know, you make some noise. But we got some tears and having to rub a tear off from Colton. That was clearly a half a cry. And Caitlin going through what she went through and explaining it had a half a cry in there.
You got a full cry from Cassie, too, which surprised me.
A full cry from Cassie. And that was strictly because she didn't get the clothes that Caitlin had. That's amazing.
Yeah, I thought Cassie was going to hold up a little bit longer than this, but because I think we both have her as the final four candidate from the very beginning episodes. So that was a little bit surprising.
Sometimes, Heiss,
sure.
When you're traveling and you're tired and you see someone else come home with some stuff that you want, you just got to let it loose. Sometimes you just got to let it loose. So
this sounds very personal. Has this happened to you?
No, I think Cassie's going to go far, so I'm trying to give her benefit of the doubt here.
All right, so let's get into our new props heading into episode number 5 next Monday. Because the cry is pushed, total number of cries carrying over, we're going to set it again at 3.5. You think that's the right number here?
I think it's the right number because it was such a good number last week. You have to keep it. I think you tell the guys that pushed, hey, we're putting the line back at the same next week. What do you got? Last week I said over 3.5, and I don't know if Colton crying counts because I predicted it, and I got a half cry out of it. So maybe that's a push. Maybe that's a push for me too, but I'm going to go under this week. I think they're going to have a lot of fun in Thailand. I think there's going to be a lot of drama. We already know Elise is going to cry because we saw that in the preview, but I just think we got lucky hitting it with a couple halves this week, so I'm going to go under.
Okay, I'm going to take the over. I think that whatever scene that is that they hinted at, I think that's going to be a big crier, and I think a lot of emotions are going to be involved because I think some innuendo is going down, and I'm curious to see where it goes. By the way, one of the recaps from last week, bleeped words from Demi. That looked like it was going to completely hit the under, and then towards the end of the episode, we got 4. We set the line at 2.5, and I think that surprised a lot of us. We had her comment on Caitlin and Hannah B. She said Courtney talked mad shit about her. She got bleeped in the convo with Onyeka, and then the same effing age. That was the 4th. So kudos to anybody that took the over. You cashed in. Congratulations to you. You have an interesting prop bet for Thailand.
Yeah, my prop bet for Thailand, listen to this, every time they go to Thailand in pretty much any show, whether it's Bachelor, Bachelorette, or another series that you watch, there's always elephants, and there's always elephant rides. So I got to think someone's going to ride an elephant in Thailand, but I want to know how many people are going to have the opportunity to ride an elephant, and I don't know if it's going to happen on a one-on-one date or a group date, and if it is a group date, you never really know how many people are going to be on them. So for that reason, I'm setting the over-under of number of people that will ride an elephant in next week's episode at 5. What do you think, Heiss?
I think the better question would be how many elephants will be ridden. as opposed to how many people ride the
elephant. No, I love this because what if you have two people on one elephant? Then there's four and you hit the under. I just want to know how many people are going to have the opportunity to ride an elephant because it's something everyone wants to do when they go to Thailand.
I think it's going to be integrated into a one-on-one. I don't know if I can see... So how many girls are left on the show? Like 12, 13, 14?
There's
a lot
13. I think 13.
Okay, so that's a lot of elephants, right? Like, that's a lot of elephants still in play that you got to get for all these different women that are left on the show.
What if you have one and they take turns? I mean, you never know.
That's true. Yeah, that could certainly be in play, and they just don't necessarily lead that. I'm going to take the under because I think the elephant ride is going to be a part of a one-on-one date. That's right.
Okay, for fun, I'll take the over. I don't like it, but I'll take the over. I think more than five people ride an elephant this week. And I'm going to be jacked next week if I come back and it was like a whole group date did it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, no, if you hit the over there, it's a six-pack on me. We can actually put something of substance over here. All right, here's my prop bet as we close out episode number four. I think even though we talked about it and we mentioned the positivity of Hannah B. and Kaylin squashing their beef, I don't know if it's truly over. So it's not necessarily for next week, but I think it can go out through as long as the two of them remain on the show together. Have Kaylin and Hannah B truly squashed their beef? I've given slightly better odds at no as opposed to yes, because I feel like the producers are going to want to continue that story for as long as they possibly can. And I still think there's that chance that Hannah B can come unnerved a little bit just because of something, or she'll see something else. Because even when... Yeah, they kind of fix things. There's still a rivalry there. It doesn't just go away. So I'm giving slightly better odds, a slightly better payout for yes than for no. So where do you think you're leaning here?
I think I'm leaning towards yes because I want to gamble here. I want to make some money. I want to risk some to win some, baby. And because of that, I feel like they sat down on the couch, they squashed the beef, the show's moving on from that. It's time to focus on other women. And even if behind the scenes they're still fighting, I don't know if we're going to see it on camera as much. So for that reason, I'm going to say, yes, it's done, it's over, and I want a nice payout from this.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to take. I'm gonna go ahead and shell out a little bit more money for what I feel is a better bet. They wouldn't have, especially filming this and producing this and the way that we know this show, these things just don't go away, man. Something's going to come back up. There's going to be a trigger, and that trigger is going to be pressed and turned, and I think this is not the end that we have seen from Kaylin and Hannah B when it comes to their beef.
Well, if it comes back, we know we're going to have the savage moment that Caitlin Clemens always talks about in the savage segment. So,
yes, and she will come back for that on the savage segment of You Play to Win the Rose. There you go. Little post-game edition. Thank you guys for listening. Please take a second and rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, wherever you guys download this from. Share it with your friends. We post clips to Twitter and on Instagram, and you can follow us. I am at Benny Heiss on Twitter. Andrew is at Andrew_Carter. And on Instagram, I forgot what you are, but I had it in front of me.
I'm Andrew Carter _ at the end. So okay. You got good odds if you just put the double underscore somewhere. You're good.
See, I just keep it easy, and you can follow me at Benny Heiss. So for Andrew, I'm Ben. Thank you guys for watching, for listening, and for being a part of You Play to Win the Rose.
Real quick, Ben, I want to be invited to that basketball league soon. We're out.
I'll put you in the game. Take a piece of tinsel and